Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 31. We are, of course, continuing our Final Fantasy IX playthrough. The disclaimer, as always, is episode 6 is where we began the Final Fantasy IX series. So, if you want to start from the beginning, that is the episode you want to go to. Before we dive in, remember we kind of left off at the Desert Palace. We just got back to it. We kind of mentioned Cid, you know, he's out of his cell. But before we do that, we do have a shout out that we have to do to Kush Patrol on Instagram. Let me tell you, he came through for us. He donated enough that we were able to get Alex a new mic. So no, this is not going to be a Calvin Klein model you're hearing. This is actually Alex, is what he sounds like.
Yep, so hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm behind a wall anymore. But yeah, you know, I really appreciate that. I mean, it's really cool to see that.
Yep, that was on our list and we got it. And now we just have to get some soundproofing for our rooms because now we just have the echo. Yeah. But anyways, we're of course glad that you stopped by. We hope that you are going to enjoy this episode. We hope you enjoy the podcast. So, as mentioned, here we go. Desert Palace. We left off, we had to end kind of abruptly there with Cid being the frog, being outside of his cell at the Desert Palace. Remember Zidane and whoever you chose, and we chose slightly different, are still at Olivert or whatever, getting that Gullick Stone. And so here we go, jumping into it. We have the Hedgehog Pie minigame that's kind of like, I don't know, red light, green light kind of a deal. And you just got to sit pretty there much and mash whatever button it is, circle or whatever controller you're using or keyboard, to get to the key. First off, man, it's in a cage. Like, why is he so afraid? I don't understand this at all.
I know. This is honestly like one of my most hated little mini games in the series, because you know you're sitting there and y'all probably know what I'm talking about if you've done this before. He just, like, every time you press circle, he just like inches forward little by little.
Yes.
And also, like, I mean, like what you're saying, yeah, first of all, why is he scared? I mean, come on, Cid, really? I know you're a frog and everything, but come on,
he's in a cage, man,
right? And on top of that, like, the hedgehog pie in the cage, it'll do, like, this sneaky stuff will slowly turn around and then quickly whip back and kind of catch you out. And
yes.
It is just, like, an annoying minigame.
It is, and there's no really strategy to this. I mean, it's red light, green light. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. It does get slightly easier the more you fail. He actually, because I was testing this out. I just did this yesterday and I was just mashing it. I wanted to get caught, and so it got caught. And Cid, he keeps saying different phrases for like the, I don't know, third or fourth time, and then he starts saying the same thing. At that point, you're kind of at like the fastest pace. He wants to pick up the pace, essentially. So if do want to make it easier for yourself, just fail on purpose like three or four times at the very beginning, and then it's not so slow. I mean, you have a timer. It's going to be incredibly hard to run out of time for this. So it's kind of just take your time, be patient with it. Again, if you fail a couple times, he moves faster on each button press. And so further, I guess.
That's interesting. But yeah, once you get past that part, it's kind of like a two-part mini game. So the first part, the red light, green light, is just to get the key for the scales. The hourglass, so we can actually turn that over. Then you've got to do this whole thing where you have to put weights onto the scale so that he can jump up to the to the hourglass. And you've got clay, stone, and iron? Wood, yeah. You just have to put the right combination on there, and it's pretty much the last one, clay, stone, and iron. But you can trial test it by putting different combinations on there, and then if it's too light, he won't be able to jump up there, and you just keep trying until you get the right one.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple games here with Sid. He is a frog after all. But once he flips that, essentially, it just kind of releases everyone out of their prison cells. And so now you're using the party. And, well, in mind, I had Iko, Dagger, Vivi, and Steiner. I think for most people, it's probably going to be those three magic users, or maybe two of the three or whatever. You know, it is what it is, but equip anything new, right? You did have those mock shops that hopefully you bought something new, or the treasures and chocographs, all that different stuff. So equip what you got to do, and then a couple of things that you just might help out in this area, because there are quite a few enemies, and of course there is going to be a spoiler alert boss. Clear-headed and locomotion, right? There, stop is like a very common thing here. And, I mean, obviously, just clear-headed's kind of been a theme for the last couple areas.
Yeah, and locomotion is really important, especially in Final Fantasy IX, because unlike a lot of other Final Fantasies, if your whole party gets stopped, or let's say, you know, a couple of them get KO'd, and then the last remaining party members get stopped, it's actually a game over. So that's why in this game, locomotion is really, really important. And then another thing that you could do, if you have Kina, so like Mark was saying, he had, what was it, Dagger, Iko, Vivi, and Steiner, right? So I took Steiner to Oilvert, so this time I've got Kina instead, but the same three there. And for Kina, if you were doing the Chocobo Hot and Cold side quests and getting all those Chocographs, you should have, I think it's the Light Robe, right?
Light Robe, yep.
Yeah, so you could equip that on her. That has half MP. That's going to be really useful.
Yeah. And then there's a few little things that we'll get to kind of just as we go through here with why else Kina would be very helpful in this area. But first things first, so you're kind of just in that screen where you got all the jail cell doors right there, and if you head to the right, basically where the hedgehog pie was, you will have Mojito the Moogle. So we got another Moogle here. You can save it, do whatever. Kind of an interesting thing, though, man. I went in there, you know, and the first thing, I was like, where'd the hedgehog pie go? Like, it's not in its cage anymore. When you get into that room, it's, did you let it out, too? I don't know what the heck, where it went.
Yeah, I never noticed that, but it is kind of funny. Like, what is that room anyways? I mean,
there's a table like a little, with, like, you know, the little bindings, spikes. and spikes. And I don't know, it's a torture room, I guess,
for real, I guess. I mean, because, you know, you're at the bottom of the desert palace, and then you've got all the prison cells and everything, so maybe that's what it is. But what the heck was he using the hedgehog pie for?
I don't know. Yeah, so strange. Well, a Mojito does have a letter for you, though. It's Mojito to Mogsim, so that's our only and new Mognet letter. And another Mog Shop, so essentially it is the same thing. You might have a little bit extra gil after maybe defeating Ark and other things, so you might have a little bit to toss around, but just some key things here is just make sure to get those green berets. Have at least, like, maybe five of them, because they will be... First, they're good. You probably want to use them right now. And secondly, you will need them for synthesis.
Yeah, basically, I talked about this a little bit last time, but the Green Beret, I think the Fairy Flute, and Spear of the Trident, those become unavailable pretty soon, I think. But basically, that's why you want to get those, because it gets to a certain point in the game where you can't buy them anymore.
Right.
Anyways, one other thing that Mojito has... That is slightly different, though. You can actually buy the Rising Sun throw items. So, depends on whether you have Mojito will have them for sale, but you should definitely pick up some of those. They're really good. They do a lot of damage. Even if you don't have Amaranth in the party right now, pick up some of those. They are really, really useful.
They are. All right, well, here we go into Desert Palace. It's quite confusing to explain. We're going to try to, as always, break it down. It's going to be a lot of areas and a lot of candles. But essentially, if you think back before maybe they all got out of their cell, before the party went to Oliver, I don't know, but there was two black mages kind of in that same area we're at right now. One of them's like, oh, I forgot how to do it. How do you do it again? He's like, it's easy. Essentially, all you have to do is just light all the candles. And so...
Yeah.
At that moment, you're kind of like, okay, you know, like whatever that means.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get into it. So as we kind of discussed, right, your party is probably going to be mostly magic users, you know, and then of course you're just, I don't know, it might be completely the other way. Who knows? But regardless, it's gonna kind of... It should be tricky in here. It's not gonna be the easiest thing. Thankfully, the encounter rate is not very high. I think in mine went the whole entirety of Desert Palace. I got to maybe like 3 or 4 battles, so probably expect about the same. But man,
yeah.
Starting right off with them, Grimlock. I hate those little guys. I don't. First of all, what the heck are they? Are they like a pea pod? That I don't know. It's like little circles stacked on each other.
Yeah, they're really weird enemies. They're kind of like these. Pea pod is like the best way to explain it because they're like little spheres stacked up on top of each other, and then they're wearing a coat, and kind of like, you know, walking around and stuff. But anyways, they're these weird enemies, and they have a really interesting attack pattern. So basically, whatever color sphere or orb or whatever the head is, that's what their attack is going to be. So if it's red, it's going to be a high defense. High attack power, low magic defense.
And I mean, really high defense, too.
Seriously, this is why this is so important, is that it's going to be tough if you don't have a balanced party.
Yes.
Like, as in, you know, you don't have any physical attackers or any... I don't know why you wouldn't have any magic attackers, but you know what I mean. And then the blue for this, they use a bunch of status magic, just really annoying spells. Slow, sleep, silence, stop, all that kind of stuff. One thing that is consistent with all of these enemies, and which is why it's so useful to have Kena in your party, they are pretty much all susceptible to level 5 death. So yes. If you it can be so much easier, because I didn't even know that back when, you know, I played this game previously. Yeah. But yeah, they are all susceptible to level 5 death, so...
Yeah, and kind of just to hit that point home on the Grimlock and the defense, I mean, Steiner attacking... You know, what was doing with the red orb on top was doing 100. You know, I mean, it's just insanely high. And not only that, even if you use something like Fire Sword or whatever you have, it still does not do that much. Even though it's kind of like a magical attack, it's still only hitting for like maybe 400 or 500. And so, you know, yeah, having VV, no worries. If you have some good items for, you know, Ico, like the white robes, you can just cast Holy, no big deal. And so I was doing tossing those out, but yeah, they're not easy. They do give a ton of experience, so that's pretty cool. All these guys do. So the next one is what? They're kind of like the Corel enemies, like the, you know, pretty the big much. Cats. They're wearing like hats this time or something like that. I don't even know, but
yeah, they are.
Torama, I guess is how you'd say, or Drama.
Yeah.
Dude, I will say in mine, something that I did not really pay attention to that sucked is they apparently absorb thunder element. And then some of you are probably like, oh yeah, of course. Well, you know, you don't think about that when you have Steiner with Coral Sword on and then you hit it and it heals them for 1900. And I'm like, oh man, it took me 4 turns to do that much damage to them, you know.
That is a good point. I never even thought about that because I did see on their attack list that they can use Electrocute.
Yes.
So I wonder if that makes them absorb, or if they naturally absorb it. I don't know. But either way, definitely something to think about. But
they are ones that you stop frequently with the blaster. So just kind of be prepared. At least when I was going against them, they were using that all the time. And I had characters going down with it. We got one more enemy. And that's the Draken, or Draken.
Yeah, Draken is basically like... it's got a different name, but it's a reoccurring enemy from Final Fantasy, typically called the Mind Flayer. And other ones like Final Fantasy 12, Final Fantasy 5 and 4, I think. Anyways, this guy is super annoying. This is one of those enemies you're definitely going to want to have body temp equipped, because he can use Mustard Bomb, which inflicts heat. He can use Freeze, which inflicts freeze. Bio, Mind Blast can confuse you. He can even use Vanish, so your physical attacks will just miss. Really annoying enemies in this place. They all use a bunch of status effects, and just make sure you've got pretty much all the status immunity auto abilities, like Body Temp, Antibody, Locomotion, and you should be all good. But yeah, same with this guy and the Torama, both susceptible to level 5 death. So again, if you've got Kena, this is a whole lot easier. But
yeah, all that to say is if you did take Kena and have a level 5 death, you won't have any issues here, most likely. So
pretty much, yeah.
So we got the enemies down. We are about to head into the directions. You can already tell I'm cringing a little bit because we got to try to make this as clear as day, which is going to be impossible. But before we get to that, let's do our bold move. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start us out this time. So my bold move is in Final Fantasy X. As are many. And I was thinking about it, and it has to go to Tidus, but then I was like, well, you know what? That means it needs to go to Waka and to Riku as well. So it was a very bold move of them to continuously try for the Guinness Book of World Records for holding their breath. Because,
yeah.
Come on, man. How are they the only three among Blitzball players also that can... I don't know, essentially be underwater for an indefinite period of time.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what's funny, and we'll get into this when we get to Final Fantasy X, but I've heard so many theories about how they can do that. Like, some people have attributed it to pyroflies and stuff like that, you know? It seems like anything in Final Fantasy X in that universe is like, oh, pyroflies, pretty much.
Yeah, it's the get out of jail free card. Nah, man, they're just trying to go for the Guinness Book of World Records for the record time of holding your breath. That's what they're doing. Bold move.
Well, on top of that, too, you know, try throwing a ball like that underwater, man. Good luck with that.
All right. Man, what do you have?
This week, taking it back to Final Fantasy VII. Now, I know in a previous bold move, we talked about how it was a bold move for Yuffie to steal all the materia. Well, you know, I was thinking about that a little bit more. It was also a really bold move for her dad, Godo. He then suggests, after you do the Pagoda side quest, he encourages her to try and steal the materia again.
Yeah, he does.
And bring it back. So
it's like, failed once. He's like, no, go try again.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No, what a bold move. What a jerk. Seriously. Also.
Yeah, for real.
All right, well, those are our bold moves for episode 31. Let's continue on the Desert Palace. All right, man, so at this point, we went into the room, the torture room, with the disappearing hedgehog pie, and now, I mean, essentially, you have to move forward. And, you know, this is a really interesting place. I was actually thinking about
it. Really
is. And the more, especially the further on you get into it, it has a very, like, traditional Final Fantasy, like, cathedral vibe to it.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Just doesn't make sense because it's, like, a palace under sand, but, you know, I don't know. There's, like, stained glass everywhere and elaborate staircases and...
Yeah, it is a crazy-looking place. I mean, it looks amazing. You know what I mean? It's like when you're walking around and doing the candlestick puzzle or whatever. It is just a crazy looking place, like you said, almost cathedral like. But just one thing that pops into my head, just kind of thinking about all of this: how did Kuja build this place? Like, it's just, it's so random. It's like this giant palace, right? And it's just him chilling in there. So it's really random.
It is. Well, yeah, if you get to the realistic approach, which we always do, so if you're sitting here harping on us for doing this, well, we like doing it. It's pretty hysterical to think about.
It's funny to think about.
He just, you know, he borrowed Cinna's hammer and he went to work, is essentially what he did.
Dude, Cinna's magic hammer. That's actually good. I didn't even think about that, because the one thing I thought of was, you know, I don't know, did he recruit a whole bunch of black mages to
build it for him,
or what?
If that was the case, like, it must be brand new then, you know? They haven't been around that long, but...
Right? Yeah, and just on top of that, you know, it is kind of funny to think about, because we talked about earlier, you mentioned the black mages, you know, how they're like, oh, we've got to go through that whole security system thing again. How do you do it? You just light them all. So... Kuja, does he do that every single time he goes down to the torture room? He just has to, like, do the little candle puzzle or something?
Maybe he does it. Maybe he gets teleported. But apparently all the black mages have to anytime they want to go up and down. You know, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We got to do this all over again.
All the random encounters for training or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
but anyways,
they needed, you know, we fought them in Bermesia. That was a joke. But yes, anyways, we digress. So here we go. So starting off, as we said, you want to go to the left, and you basically, this whole place is about lighting candles, is essentially what it is. So this first screen you get to, it's pretty much just a hallway, right? And there's a candle on the left, you light it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like this red orb that lights up on the right. And so I have always went to it. I don't think I ever like was like, oh, whatever, and you know, passed it off. Hopefully you haven't either, because there's going to be quite a few of them and they have multiple purposes. But the main thing is, you know, hey, you get a little bit of loot. So this one, if you go ahead and you touch it, each one, it says kind of something about like what the item actually is, like, you know, wrist or ring or, you know, whatever. And then it says kind of like properties to form. We're not going to go over those. We're just essentially saying, you know, for this first one, you touch it and it's a promised ring.
Yeah, I mean, you actually get some really legit add-ons from this whole sequence, so it is pretty interesting. I think they're called bloodstones or something like that. And then, like he said, yeah, there's always like a little quote that says like, you know, faithful paladin. You know, you use this to resist magic or something like that.
Yep, exactly.
Anyways, like you said, so you get that. It's promised ring is pretty sweet, but I think we talked about that earlier.
Yes.
But from there, you just go on up the stairs, and then you get to this next section where there's kind of like a goddess statue. What you do here is you essentially just run all the way to the left, almost like to a dead end, and it makes this magic, like, blue path and staircase appear up, so.
Well, so you actually have to go right and left. You have to go both directions.
Is that what
it's
is?
Like the... Yeah, it's like it's, you got that like goddess statue in the center, which you can expect. It doesn't do anything. It just kind of gives you a little description. But then it has like the two other statues, and you basically just have to run past them for them to move their heads. And
Once both those, then
this magical like blue staircase appears, and go ahead and run on up it, right? And this screen, most likely you probably will get into a random encounter, just because it's one of the ones that you actually do have a longer walk. But essentially, you just go there, and it's just kind of like a balcony. You light a candle, and so you go back down.
That's
all you do.
Exactly. There was a chest with fairy earrings off to the right when you go back to that original spot there. So go ahead and grab that, and then you just basically exit that area off to the left. And now you get to like a big area where... It's basically like it's partitioned into three sections by these statues in the middle that are basically standing there. And this is kind of where the puzzle gets, I guess, a little bit more technical. So what ends up happening is you've got three candles in this first area, and it's pretty much like what we already talked about. Just light them all, and then it sort of flashes the screen like it just goes blanks out with white. When you get to see again, basically there's a stained glass area that's now open. So you get the idea that lighting these candles makes changes the environment somehow that allows you to progress.
Right. And and on that first side, I think it's only just that one stained glass.
Yeah.
And on the other side, I think there's three of them, or at least two. And so, we're going to start to get kind of into the back and forth here, moving forward in different areas. And so, once you go to that other side, you're kind of on the right side of those. I think there's like three more, kind of, these are more like braziers, I guess. They're not exactly like, you know, candlesticks as we've been dealing with. But you just want to light the lower left one. Once you do that on the opposite side, the first side we were on the left side, those statues that are kind of blocking the middle, they go down. Go ahead and go on back.
go
into the center there and light the two in there, and then the other statues go down.
Yeah, it all sounds very confusing. It is hard to explain, but this is kind of one of the first situations, like Mark said, where to unlock this eventually, to move on like to the later parts of the palace, you have to light all the candles. But for this first part, like he said, you just have to light a very specific one to make the statues disappear for a minute. Then you can finally do that.
Yeah, once all the statues are down, that's when you just go ahead, light all of them. All of the braziers, all of them. There's one that's kind of like in a section to the south all by itself. Light that. You're good to go. The far right stained glass kind of disappears. And then, hey, there's another red orb. And this is a good one, man. Inklet. No. Yes. It's like,
oh, I know, right?
Okay, we've only had these in the game for like, you know, 10 hours.
Yeah, yeah. You guys probably thought we were going to say like dark matter or something. Nah, just an Inklet, no, unfortunately.
Just an Inklet. But yes, go ahead, go through that right door. And I think this is the one where it's like kind of the curved path and there's already two candles lit. Don't unlight any of them or extinguish any of them. Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead and just light that last one. And then you get something we actually kind of just had from Chocograss, but if you haven't gotten that, then this is the first time. It's pretty good. You get the shield armor. So if you have either Rusty or Freya in your party, that's probably going to be the best thing that you have at this point.
Yeah, and shield armor is actually pretty good. It's got really high defense. The abilities on it aren't that great, but the defense value is really nice.
Yes.
So then you pretty much just continue going, and this is, you know, some of these candles too, they kind of light up. Basically, like, is it they illuminate the glass or something like that at some point.
Yeah, so, they do.
They do different things is the point. But you just continue on this path. It's just, there's only one way you can go. So you just keep going that way and you get to the library.
Yes.
See, like, all of these bookcases that are three stories.
Yeah, like three stories high stacked
or something
up.
Like that.
Kind of, so it's a pretty cool room. It really is. It feels like you're Belle in Beauty and the Beast, you know, and you're just going to be reading all these books. But
yeah.
I would actually kind of like a library like this, because if you go ahead and you just light that bottom left candle, the first thing that happens is it kind of like opens up the stairs on the right side of the screen. So now you can go all the way up to the top bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
Do so, because when you light that candle on the left, the whole entire bookshelf like lifts up, man. That's so cool. It's like, I want to be able to light a candle and have my bookshelves just lift up for me and revealing a hidden door. It's like, you know, I could have my Final Fantasy games in there. I could keep my strategy guides. No one could find them, you know?
I think this all kind of like, it would be kind of sick to have sort of like lair like that, right? Where you've got like hidden passageways and bookcases that move up and down to reveal like different doorways and stuff. That would be actually pretty sick.
I mean, honestly,
imagine a place like that. It'd be crazy.
Well, and we have to once again revisit, like, what the heck was Kuja doing, man? He literally, this whole entire place is just designed to hide candlesticks that open up different things. It's just, it's so elaborate.
It is. It's so typical too. I mean, you know, not to diverge too much, but it's like, you know, it's like the typical evil antagonist lair, right?
Yeah,
you know how they always have like their own little, I guess lair is the best word for it, but their little hideout or base where it's got like a really elaborate design and it's this huge palace and everything. It's just, it's so funny that Kuja has this, but
it is. But so once that top one does lift up, it's just a door, go into it, and I don't know. Actually, I think this one is just, it just has an orb in it, that's already lit up, and so that has the Enkai armlet, nothing fancy, we've had those. And so go ahead, return. Yeah. Now you want to go to the middle level, light that candle.
Yeah.
The middle level lifts up, and hey, what do you know? There's another door, and so there's multiple candles through that door. You kind of just wind up a path, but essentially that's all it is, right? You're just kind of doing some things that reveal extra candles. You light those, then you go back, and so that's kind of just, it's back and forth here in the library.
Yeah, and that one too, I think is the one where you go up the stairs, right? And then there's a candle at the end. That's the one that like illuminates kind of like a projection screen almost.
Yes. I think it's just giant stained glass windows or something like that.
Yeah. It's weird. But anyways, you do that. And then what is it? The bottom candle? You go through that door.
Yeah, then light the other. Yeah, light the other bottom candle. And then the whole entire left wall starts glowing and you can just walk through it. So
yeah. And so this can kind of get people sometimes. I've seen some walkthroughs of people playing this game where it's weird because you can't actually see the left side of the screen. You just have to basically walk through.
Yeah.
And then you see there's a whole nother section where Mogsam the Moogle is chilling out. And then you can give him the letter from Mojito.
Yes.
And no new letters, right?
Yeah, nothing new. And actually kind of on your point, what you're just saying, I think this is a common place where people probably might be temporarily stumped. I think I was, you know, or maybe I remember, because from the Mog, Monksim, you need to keep going left, but it doesn't look like anything. You know, it looks like the end of the wall, and so I don't think most people would just go and run into a wall, you know, but...
That's exactly it, is... It's not even clear that that is like an exit or anything like that. So, yeah.
Interesting thing. But yes, keep going left and we will keep continuing in Desert Palace. But let's do our seed trivia. All right. Alex is on his rank 26 seed quiz. Let's see what's in store for him today. So... Let's hop right to it, man. We're going to start off in Final Fantasy VII. And when you're at Junin, it takes about 40 breaths to bring Priscilla back to life.
Oh, man. You mean like if you...
right?
Are you saying like if you take the meter to the
well,
the highest
like
point
you know,
you
each
can,
like
or?
each inhale where he go, you know, when he does what I just did, about 40 of those bring Priscilla back to life.
I have no idea. False.
All right, our next question: Final Fantasy 13. Vanille is the only character that cannot learn haste.
Dang. And really getting some better questions now. I don't know. True.
Final Fantasy VIII. Kyros' last name is Seagill. S-E-A-G-I-L-L. False. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Final Fantasy XII. The Hunt Ixtab is within Lusu Mines.
Oh, that's false.
Final Fantasy IX. See how well your memories. You're probably gonna know this. I just figured, like, mixed up. 300 jumps gets you an Alexandria card. For jump rope, obviously.
Yeah, I gotcha. False.
Final Fantasy X-2. Within Sphere Break, there are two type of echoes. One is the multiplayer echo, and the other one is the count bonus echo.
Sphere Break. I think that's true.
All right, and our last one in Final Fantasy X. You know, he may not look like it, but Tidus is strong enough to move boulders. Thinking back to the Bosch Temple first time.
True. I love how he does it so effortlessly, too. It's just like, walks straight through it.
All right, let's recap. Final Fantasy VII was our first question about... The 40 breaths about to bring Priscilla back to life. You said false. It's true. It's about 40 to 43. And, you know, it makes sense because that minigame takes forever, man. It's oh my gosh.
You were right. I love that impression. That's exactly how it's like.
Yep. And it's just like, man, after you do it a couple times, like, let's call it. She's dead, guys. Let's move on. I'm calling it. Not doing it anymore. All right.
Oh, man.
Next question. Vanille is the only character in Final Fantasy XIII that cannot learn haste. You said true, and it is true. She cannot, and she's the only one. Everyone else can do haste.
Probably guessed on that.
Not
okay.
Vanille. The next question was the Final Fantasy VIII Kyros' last name is Seagill. You said false. It's true.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got the strategy guide. Seagill. Yeah, his last name is Seagill. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. All right, you're two down. Let's see. Final Fantasy XII, Ixtab is a hunt within Lusu Mines. You said false, and it is false. It's not Lusu, it's the Henny Mines.
Henny Mines, yeah.
Final Fantasy IX was the 300 jumps gets you the Alexandria card. You said false. It is false. It's not 300. It's 200. 200 jumps gets that. 300 jumps is the tiger racket. So.
Nice.
Final Fantasy X-2. There's the two types of echoes and sphere breaks. The multiplier and the count bonus echo. You said true. It is false. It is.
Oh.
The multiplier echo, and it's not the count bonus, it's the coin count echo. I know you spent so much time in that. Come on, everyone does. It's the best mini game.
Tear break.
All right, man, it's coming down to this last question. You can't miss one more. Let's see, Final Fantasy X. It's the gimme.
Oh.
He may not look like it, but Tidus is strong enough to move boulders. You said true, and it is true. That dude moves like a solid slab of marble. Like not, like you said, he just walks through like, oh, I'm just going to push this over. Like, it's like, no, you can't do that, man. What are you talking about? Like, that's got to weigh like 2 tons.
I jumped out of the frying pan and into the freezer.
I need food. Well, man, you passed. I almost got you that time. That was a close one.
Yeah,
nail biter there. So, rank 26 achieved. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely getting tougher, man.
I don't know. I think some weeks I'm just on it, some I'm not. But regardless, Alex passed. He's happy. I'm happy, I guess, too, for him. Whatever. But let's go ahead and let's get back to the Desert Palace. So we just made it through the library, past Moxum. You might want to use a tent or save it or whatever. I mean, there's a little bit more here, but not a whole lot. We're in the area that's called the Shadow Chamber. It's kind of an interesting one. You might be slightly confused on this. It's kind of like a small little puzzle now within this whole elaborate candle puzzle. But on this first side, you're kind of on the right side. It's another room that's kind of split in half. And so on this right side, you want to go ahead and you want to light both candles and touch that orb. Now, this one is a good one. You get the Black Hood, which is quite nice. Vivi learns death, which is kind of cool.
That's right, yeah. It is awesome, seriously. And the weird thing, kind of like what you said, this is more puzzly because what's happening with the candles here is there's like a little statue on the wall.
Yes.
On the wall. And depending on what candle, like there's a left and a right one, it creates a different shadow that has like a, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, it's kind of like a gargoyle or something looking thing. And...
And so that's kind of what this is about. But yeah, basically you light those first two and then you get the Black Hood, then head on over to the other side. Right?
Well, and so if you want to do it now, it actually won't matter because you will have to return to this side regardless. Once you light both, you do want to eventually extinguish that left one. And once you are to the other side, same thing, light both. The next orb will go ahead and light up, and this is going to be the Venetius shield for Steiner or Freya, which is also pretty good. I'm blanking
still
on what abilities it has. Do you happen to know?
No, I don't off the top of my head, but it's going to have, you know, like, better evade than pretty much anything you have at this point. I don't think it has any noteworthy abilities, though. We'll look into that.
But... yeah. Same thing here. Go ahead. You want to extinguish the left candle. And so both the shadows are kind of like pointing to the left. That's what you want. And then you'll see on the opposite side, the first one we got onto is another blue magical staircase.
And it's kind of interesting, right? That the shadows, the way you want it to be, this is why it's kind of a puzzle. It's like a gargoyle chasing the
angel. I think it's like an angel. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It's sort of like good and evil sort of shadows. And you might think that, you know, normally you would want it to be the other way around, but remember, it's Kuja's palace, so that's the way he likes it to be.
Yeah, he likes to chase angels up and down, apparently is what he's doing, so. In his mind, at least. All right, so you're up on the magical staircase. You might, I mean, just prepare, make sure everyone's healed up kind of a deal, because as soon as you do light the candle up there, we have
final
the next
candles.
Boss battle. So... this guy, I guess it's Valia Priya or Valia Priya or something. I don't know.
Valia Priya, I think is his name. But yeah, basically like almost like a tombstone or something
Dude,
like that.
I don't.
A giant
we literally just talked about this before the episode. We don't know how to just. It almost, like, it's a mirror shape, you know? So it's kind of like that. But, yeah, it's like
it's just rock.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a rock, and it's got kind of, like, gold trim on the top. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got,
know.
Like, a crown. It's got, like, a crown gold trim at the top. It's got this weird pattern. It's Kuja's defense system.
It's a giant defense system. Gosh, man. Do you want a giant dragon? No. It's like, do you want a giant flan or something? No. I'm just going to get a big slab of rock and enchant it. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I don't understand. So first things first, the steals. You can get Save the Queen. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
You actually can't get any steals. Amazing, huh? Because you don't have Zidane. But, you know, we were just talking about this as well. And they should have put, like, just some crazy good items in there just to troll you. I mean, we also talked about how you would never know you don't have detect or anything, but still, they should have, just for fun.
Would have been kind of funny, to look in the, I don't know, look it up online and find out that it has, like, some crazy equipment that you can never get unless you somehow, I don't know, use a game shark code to get some of the other guys on your team or something like that.
It's
but
sort of a thousand truths.
Right. Yeah, so beginning of this battle, it just goes through this whole series of text box at the top of the screen that talks about how it tries to upgrade its abilities based on the whole Bloodstone thing that we just went through. And me and Mark were just talking about this before, how this works. And basically, as it turns out, that the only way it's actually going to get an upgrade is if you didn't interact with the Bloodstones and therefore receive the item. That's the only way. So you don't have to have them equipped. You don't have to do anything like that. But even if you received the item, it won't be able to do any of these upgrades. It'll go through this whole thing of, like, magic enhancement, failed.
Yeah.
Defense enhancement failed. You know, all of this stuff is kind of funny.
It is kind of interesting. Yeah, you got to wait through that. And I've always gotten the orbs. You have always gotten the orbs. I don't know, again, kind of going back to what we discussed the first time we were talking about the orbs, I don't know why you wouldn't. But if you didn't, I'm just really curious at, like, how much more difficult it makes this guy, you know? Like, are they actual big boosts? Are they just, whatever. It's just a little extra. It'd be kind of curious to see. We might have to test this and just intentionally not grab them one time and fight him and see, you know, how different it is. But
yeah, I think I'll give that a try on my game. I know I got a save back there. But basically, he only gets a stat boost anyways. So it's not like he's going to get any new abilities. And as far as abilities, he pretty much just uses a whole bunch of tier 3 magic, right? Like Fire Aga, Blizzaga, and he can also use Reflect on himself.
So. Yeah, and that's the thing. So you could use, if you have Ico, you could use Carbuncle. And I know a lot of you probably try that. I just don't even bother, man. Reflect lasts, like, all of 2 seconds. He might get one attack in before you're just going to have to cast Carbuncle again. Like, it's just, it's kind of ridiculous at how quickly, you know, enhancing magical properties, like, just, they run out so fast. It's so crazy. So unless you have something like Auto Reflect on from a Reflect Ring, I honestly just probably wouldn't even worry about it and just have, you know, use Ico or Dagger's turns to heal, you know, stuff like that. But it's not too bad. As you said, Reflect. So if you do use a lot of magic, he will eventually use Reflect. So don't forget that Reflect's on him if you attack. But I don't know. It's kind of 20,000 health. You just kind of basically survive the magic, which isn't too bad. I don't think I've ever had too much trouble with this guy before.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think the biggest problem you're going to have is probably just having Dagger on your team and her constantly losing concentration and then you missing a turn.
One time, I was so lucky. I was like, oh man, she only lost concentration once, and it wasn't at a crazy moment either. So
that's good. Yeah, it always seems to me, for, like, when I'm trying to, I'll have her, like, cast a spell or something, and she'll forget to do it, and then it'll be like, oh, thanks, Dagger. But yeah, anyways, after you beat this guy, just hold on a second. Don't touch the candle, because as soon as you do, that's going to advance the plot. What you want to do here real quick is a little bit of a spoiler, but go ahead and unequip any sort of useful items from Ico real quick here, because something's about to happen.
Yeah. In which, you know, you're probably using one or the other, Iko or Dagger in your party. Or if you're rolling like me, I'm not using either, but... yeah, it's... Yeah, spoiler. We'll get to it in a second. Just go ahead and do that. But once you do touch the candle, it essentially you go down, it like, illuminates one of the teleporter pads, and then you go to that, and now you can be teleported. So, as soon as that happens, it goes back to Zidane. And it's like they just arrived on the airship, essentially, is what it is. And so you got your old party. I don't know. Equip anything, maybe, if you want. You know, it's, again, I always like to check equipment anytime it switches things around. But you know this area. You essentially just have to head right, kind of backtrack, head to the right to the teleporter pad that we arrived here the first time on. Probably fight some more ogres along the way. And then we got some more story. It's pretty great. So... We're kind of in a different area, and, you know, Zidane is going, or the party's going, and they're just talking trash about Kuja. He's like the biggest scum on the earth, or something like that, is what they say, which we agree, of course. And then, you know, you hear Kuja's voice like, "Zidane, come alone," you know. Of course, he's like, "All right, sure, whatever."
Yeah, and so this is after the party's united, right? Because they both teleport into that one's kind of central conflux area.
Well, that's once Zidane goes in. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
So
getting kind of confused here on the.
Yeah, it's it kind of meshes. I'm lucky that I literally just played it yesterday. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember either. But yeah, so Zidane goes in, right? And they're having their conversation, and you know, Kuja makes them look into like the kind of pit, and it has the party members that you were just using in Desert Palace in there. And so at first you're kind of like thinking like, oh, what the heck, man? Oh, we just teleported right into another prison thing. And he's trying to get the stone, obviously. And they're just going at it. I mean, they're just bickering like they always do. And then, yes, then it goes back to where everyone else is reunited. And they're like, yo, we got to stop Zidane from giving them the stone.
Yep, exactly. So you find out like the whole party members, quote unquote party members that are in that little chamber there that appear to be like passed out on the ground or something. They are not actually your party members. And like we said, you know, Kuja was pretty much using them to get Zidane to do this errand for him and go get the Gulag stone.
Yep. He's like, oh dear, I wasn't expecting this. That's right. They're fake.
Yeah, exactly. And anyways, it's really funny too, because at the end of the day, he just pretty much steals it off Zidane using like magic.
I know.
So it's like,
And so the little tidbit here was once everyone did rush into the room, Iko got locked out. And so she is on the outside. Everyone's on the inside. And Kuja tries to kind of use that either as leverage, is probably what it, but it was also a distraction, right? Because lo and behold, here comes Zorn and Thorn after Iko. They get her, and then Cid is like, I'll help you. And they're just like, that frog is speaking. They're like, what the heck?
Yeah, I know. It's something like, what a freak.
It's like, what a freak that frog speaks. And,
doing their little rhyming thing. But seriously, I hate Zorn and Thorin so much. They're so creepy. Like, yeah, like you said, Iko gets locked out, and then she's like, kind of turns around, and you see Zorn and Thorin from behind these pillars just creep out. And I just hate them. They're just the creepiest clowns.
It's clowns, and then, they're just... They're creepy in general, but Cid is unsuccessful, as you would assume. He gets squished by them, and Kuja, as we allude to, he gets the stone anyways. He just teleports out of the room. You get to select your party again, and now you're able to move around. We're going to kind of leave it. We'll fill it in as we finish up here. But first thing, before you leave the room, you can get another Naming Way card if you were lucky enough to get that first one. It's on the left side of the room. Definitely pick that up. They're the really good cards.
Yeah, and this is actually the best spot. This is where I'd recommend anybody, if you're really wanting to get, like, because this is a strong card. It's not like one of the strongest, but it's a really good card. So if you want to get a certain, like, favorable arrow set up, this is actually a pretty good place to do it, because not only is this, you know, one of only two spots in the game that you can actually get the card, but you can go back to that one, the library, and save with Mog Sam, which isn't that far away, and then just basically save and reset until you get the card with the arrows that you want. So
yeah, there you go.
To do that.
And so at this point, all you got to really do is just kind of just backtrack. So we're going back to the airship dock. Sid isn't dead. He was just squished. And so he says, like, yo, you know, we can follow him on the Blue Narcissus ship. And so you got to go out to the dock. You go outside. You hit the ladder, or you hit the lever. Ladder falls. And there you go. And so once you get outside, it just goes automatically to the ship. Even if you didn't drive it there, it's like, dude, I took Choco. The Blue Narcissus ship is on the miscontinent. Like, how'd you guys get to that?
I've actually done that before too, and it is hilarious the way that happens. And then on top of that, when you're seeing, you know, the screen is showing like the Hildegard as Kuja's escaping.
Yeah.
The Blue Narcissus is so fast. It's
even
faster.
Dude, hit the NOS, man. He was like, direct injection. Like, yeah, seriously, man. It's like, we never got to drive it that fast. What the heck, man?
I love it, because in like the distance you see the ship just like booking along, gaining on him the whole time. It's just totally unrealistic, but it's really funny. So
it is. Yeah. And on that point, this is all kind of a automatic thing, you know, kind of similar to when we were shipped out on the airship as well. It's all moving itself, and it goes to the Snow Continent, which is called the Last Continent, which if you did follow us when we were, I think it was 2 episodes ago when we were doing all the kind of side stuff, once we did get the Blue Narcissus ship, we've been here before, and we've done the digs. We've also visited the little town there. And so this should be familiar. If you haven't, then this is going to be the first time. But yes, Lost Continent, and just trying to track down Kuja, man. So
yeah, exactly. Like, you could have been here earlier, but this is the first time that the story takes you here. Right. And the first time you actually get the cool little... No, every time you like enter a new place, it gives you the little intro like text on the screen, so you get the Lost Continent thing. So now we've been to pretty much every continent at this point.
Yeah, and this story wise, yep.
Yep.
And that is where we are going to leave it. So thank you so much for staying and listening, and hanging out with us. If you want to go to our website, it is Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com. We are going to be working a little bit more on it. We're going to add some different things, but that is where our blog post is. You can also listen to the newest episode there and check out the blogs about the episodes, have a little more info, the songs, see trivia questions, all that kind of stuff. You can also go to our Instagram, which is the same thing, Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. We post all the media there of all the episodes we talk about, plus a little sum there. And it's also a great opportunity to let us know what you think about this stuff. We try to post it on the highlights of what we talked about during the episode. And so that way, you know, you can get into the conversation. Let us know what you do. Maybe you have taken on that boss, right, with any bloodstones. Let us know how hard it is, or if it's not at all. So,
yeah, it's always interesting to hear what you guys think about certain parts. We've been getting a lot more comments too about this kind of stuff. Like recently, we had a comment on our post for Oilvert about level 1 challenge and stuff. That kind of stuff is super interesting. So always share your thoughts, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you all. We'll see you next time. I'm Mark.
I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.